Yo.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
You listening to
W-A-W. What a week.
Hey, yo.
What a week.
Week.
I come back. It's a bit unsettled out there. At times stormy and a bit scary. Other times blazing hot. Sometimes just dark. Yes, it's one of those weeks where you can't tell if that relates to the weather, politics, the music world, or the aunties chatting on the corner, wearing a gown and a towel with calamine lotion. But hopefully we can bring some insight or even a little light with the guests that we have. Welcome back to Wow, What a Week.
This is
Wow!
What a Week.
What a Week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
The spheres of music and politics have strange similarities. They both have participants who can range from simple to quite outrageous. They both can have a person shouting into a microphone, stirring up emotions. At times, they both involve large crowds of people repeatedly chanting strange phrases. But also, the guys in both industries tend to attract a group for some reason. And strangely enough, both avenues also require lots of security personnel to keep things in order. Today, we have a guest who has experience in both these arenas. Please give a wow welcome to TK Niza. TK. Timbikos. Okrent.
Ah,
my man, so good to see you.
Yeah, man.
You know, many people don't know that I gave you one of your first music industry jobs.
Actually, you gave us a break.
Yeah.
Literally, I remember it's 2002.
Sure.
This is now us going into building TS Records.
Sure.
DJ Spoo, TK, building a company called TS Records. We're young, eh?
Mm. No, but before TS, Big Dog Productions, I remember, gave you a job.
Well, of course. Oh, Shaba, no, of course, man. Yeah. How can I forget that? No, man. Yes, of course we did. That time, DJ Fresh, Volume 1, Volume 2 was huge.
Sure.
You know, I think I was working for Ghetto Raf. Just before I worked for Ghetto Raf, I'm not even sure now.
Sure.
It's years ago.
I don't know if it was, I think you were transitioning from Ghetto Raf.
Yeah.
Or you wanted to get out of Ghetto Raf.
No, that's true.
And we decided that, okay, listen, you've got experience and you're a hustler and you work hard.
Of course.
And I was like, listen, Big Dog Productions were releasing Shaba at the time. We're releasing some of my projects.
Of course.
I think we did Club Y.
Yeah, yeah.
Gatecrasher Meets Africa. And you became part of the team at Big Dog.
You know, Fresh, I first of all, let me appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Because as I write my biography, I never write about that.
Yes, sir.
For some reason, because I've done so much in the music industry and in life in general. But it's a very good reminder for me. In fact, it humbles me even more. It makes me respect you even more.
Sure.
That, in fact, you're one of the guys that saw potential, that's a Tigzo. You know what? I think you can push. And I think we did well, I mean, in the months or year that we worked together.
Sure.
And I immediately went to Intime Inc. I remember from you, I went to Intime Inc., which was Vaughn's company.
Sure.
That's when I learned management, where we worked with Mendoza and all of that. That's where we then came with the
And I believe the, you know, Vaughn and, in fact, the Eaton brothers and Jay at the time, they were streets ahead of everyone else in terms of management and what they did for the artists.
They were amazing. I think they were living into this world.
Sure.
I mean, see what they did with Mendoza. It was amazing. He was a world-class artist at that time. You know, the branding, brand positioning, how they really made an artist understand the value of which he is.
Sure.
Many of us were operating from the boot, including management, managing artists itself.
Absolutely.
I mean,
Vaughn had nice big office desks
with suits
and leather chairs and suits.
And chains.
Vaughn would arrive at a bash in a three-piece suit.
Yeah.
In a Lee Dai King dress coat.
Of course.
And Mendoza's there in his leather pants. Vaughn is in a suit. I'm like, that is management.
And those days we used to wear sporties like our artists.
Why?
And these guys really showed us that this thing can be professional.
Absolutely.
This thing can be taken as a business. In fact, this thing is business.
Sure.
We wanted to be, you know, make sure that we're famous, made a bit of cash.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure that, you know, we drive nice cars.
Mm.
But the guys said, you know what? We can flip this thing. You can hire many people.
Mm.
You can turn it into something extraordinary.
And, absolutely.
And I learned a lot from them as well. I mean, Von and them really gave me a different perspective of the game.
Absolutely.
You know, from when I left Vaughan and them, I think I was a different animal altogether.
Yeah, that's why TS Records are so easy to set up and make it fly.
That's not easy.
No, no, but that's why you had the balls to set it
up. Of course.
Because you knew what you had learned already.
100%. Working with independent record labels or companies, you become an all-rounder.
Sure.
You know, you are forced to wake up in the morning, become a father, become a brother, becomes a, you become everything,
sure,
basically,
sure.
Even a producer yourself.
Yeah.
So that helped me. I mean, coming from Lance,
sure,
who's a genius, a hustler, but at that time, highly disorganized guy, to working with Vaughn, who's super organized, but not as a hustler like Lance. So that gave me, both worlds, which made me and turned me into what I think later I became in the music industry.
Mm.
I was able to put together TS Records. Mm. I then believed I must have offices, not operate from the boot, because I saw, and then I understood that we must have a proper branding. I understood that we needed to position our company in a particular way.
Mm.
So yeah, man, all that, I mean, that's why they always say experience is something you can't buy.
Absolutely.
I never bought that.
Mm.
I went and I worked hard and I hustled and I knew the streets and I was taught by the best in the game.
Sure. Let's go back to the Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, your childhood. What are some of the memories of your childhood that you'd say have built you into the man you are right now?
I was born in the Western Cape.
Was it Western Cape?
Yeah.
Okay.
In a township called Kukulet.
Sure. Why did I think you're from the Eastern Cape?
I don't know. I mean, I think you think causes are all from the Eastern
Cape. That's the problem. So, Nina, you were alien. You were alien. What does Helen call you? Refugees.
Yeah, no, at the first, we were those people that really led the wars of resistance.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
1800s to 1900, their longest battle was in the Western Cape against the colonizers.
Mm.
I was born in a township called Kukuletu.
Yeah,
like any other black child or many of us, you know, at that time, where a single mother, Hlala Irumini, from whom, with my uncle, who loved Miriam Makeba, who loved, very conscious. At that time, many of them were members of Black Consciousness Movement. But I think there was a lot of movement as well to the ANC, which was very established underground, who he was recruited into. It's a forum, which even today I still keep it like that. It humbles some of us.
So the childhood home is still there?
It's still there.
Okay.
It's still there because that's where I was born. But I my mother moved to Johannesburg early. In the 80s, you know. Early in the 80s, moved to Joburg with my, I would call him stepfather, but he's not. The guy was my father, man. He's a biological father to my brother, who's the firstborn at home. And then they decided to get together again.
Sure.
So she got married to this guy, Mr. Ngiza, an amazing fellow, a guy who really taught us humility. You know, and I'm saying those days to meet a black guy who's got masters. It was not easy.
Sure.
Landed in Katleho, stayed in Soweto. But because he was a labor relations officer in a mine called Matlakot.
Sure.
In Mpumalanga. So we had to spend some of our years there. That's where I met a lot of people coming from different backgrounds.
Sure, sure.
You know, and in that area, Baibiza, Baibiza, Kotas, you know, there's a lot of people from different tribes and different backgrounds.
Mm.
And then tribalism was the order of the day.
Sure.
You know, if limaXhosa, lona limaZulu, lona limaBasotho, and that mind was very cautious. That's where I met a guy called Gwede Mantashe, who was, I would say, a younger brother to my father. Who
he was still a young tiger then.
Yeah, he was not a. Yeah, he was a very young tiger. He was a young tiger. People like Crosby Moni, who became a very big leader of the ANC.
Yeah.
I grew up in that environment, and I saw how people can come together and turn things around.
Mm.
You know, the formation of National Union of Mine Workers, which was led by an animal called Elijah Bahai.
Sure.
When it happened, it was in front of my eyes. Mm. I was there when they did the constitution in Mbalentle, in a church.
Mm.
My father was one of the scribers there.
Sure.
I was young.
So how old were you at this time?
10.
Sure.
I'm 10. I'm young.
Mm.
You know, but you know, and people coming at home, going to exile, many leaders of the ANC.
Mm.
You know, remember, it was in Mpumalanga.
True.
So you get to be cautious at a very young age.
Mm.
I mean, you then join courses. From there, you then are recruited to SAICO, but you must be 14 years old for you to be a member of SAICO.
Mm.
But we were all conscious like that. And we did a lot of things as young people.
How would you say student politics has changed or evolved or has failed to change even?
It has failed to adapt.
Mm.
I think especially, I would say COSAS to a certain extent, it has failed to adapt to advocate what COSAS would or was doing at the time.
Mm.
And I think I'm not sure whether it's in the mid-2000 where it happens or what, but I'm sure they'll try and revive it. And I think once we started being preoccupied with internal politics, we lost the plot.
It becomes a distraction.
Yeah, it became a distraction even to students because they started, you know, copycatting what was happening in the mother body. And I think then the focus was, let's fight and make sure that we get better education. Let's fight Bantu education. Let's make sure that instead of having 45 or 80 students in one class, and one teacher teaches all of us in all subjects or at least four subjects, we get people who are going to specialize so that we get a better education.
Mm.
We fought for that.
Mm.
We're on the ground for that. And I honestly believe that a lot has changed when democracy came and better education came and the system changed. It really displaced a COSAS.
Sure.
But when it comes to SASCO, I think SASCO has done very well, especially with the Fees Must Fall campaign.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or rather, let me say that era of student movements. They've done very well, and I think they continue to be relevant, and they continue to advocate for things that have to do with young people in those institutions.
Now, for your average South African who knows you from TS Records,
yeah,
they only found out much later about your political side.
Yeah,
why do you think you went the music route before coming back to politics?
Because not all of us are supposed to be doing the same thing. I mean, I just think...
So why are you back?
It's a calling, I guess.
Yeah.
You never... Music and politics for me is the same thing. When people are happy, they listen to music. When people are sad, they listen to music. Music heals people. Music plays a very critical role in conscientizing any nation on any subject.
Mm.
I never thought one day I'll come back to politics. I never even dreamed about it.
True.
But I constantly I'm an activist beyond being a career politician.
Sure.
You know, and as an activist, I was always amongst my people at all times. Even when we're running TS Records, you know, we'll make sure that we are part of the communities, we assist people. And of course, I was still a member of the African National Congress even at the time. So, and I was still participating at the branch, but not at the level of leadership where everybody would know. But like I must say, Fresh, music industry taught me a lot. It took me across the country, it showed me different things, but you had to have a thick skin.
I was going to say, how would you say the music business primed you for politics?
You have to have a thick skin to survive that game.
Yeah.
On a daily basis, you are scrutinized, you are criticized, you do good. Even those you've done good for, they are the first to say, hey, this one. So it prepares you because you are constantly on the people's eyes. You're constantly, criticized. And it doesn't matter how good you do. But it has given me a thick skin. I mean, when I went to politics, I was ready for everything that has been thrown at me. I mean, when I was elected in one conference, people were calling me DJ Mapiano.
Sure.
You know, because people always undermine those who are in the music industry for some reason.
And it's wild, eh?
Yeah.
They'll tell you, no, stick to music.
Yes.
Hey, stick to this.
Yes.
As if generally life is politics. So we're political animals from the minute we are born.
100%.
But for some reason, we want to relegate certain people to certain things when it suits us.
But
we'll trust an 18-year-old with an X at the ballot.
100%. 100%.
Because surely we should tell an 80-year-old, stick to teenage things. Why are you voting? What do you know about politics?
DJ Fresh, I can assure you, Altian.
Yeah.
Actually, if there's one thing that encouraged me to even fight more, was that why must people who are in a particular industry be disrespected like this?
And undermined.
It can be.
Sure.
It was a revolution that I had to wage for people in the entertainment industry.
Sure.
To say, in fact, we can lead this ANC. If it can be led by mine workers, if it can be led by cleaners, if it can be led by teachers, if it can be led by shoemakers, anybody who is in any industry can lead. Miriam Makeba, United Nations, delivers a message from the ANC, from O.R. Tambo.
Sure.
Tambo was not a stupid man, he was a visionary. He gave this woman or this icon, this speech to deliver at the United Nations for a reason. Because he knew how this person can conscientize and bring everybody together.
Sure.
The same ANC was Jonas Kwangwa, was an underground soldier of the ANC. He was transporting arms from one area to another. I can name many of them.
Sure.
Why people do that? It's for their own reasons. And I said, and I even told Oskiro, I said, Oskiro, I'm going to go back to that thing because people are calling me to go back.
Sure.
And it will be important for us to do it. At the time, and I'm sure there are many comrades coming back, I saw Eugene now, and there was nobody who was at the helm and leading any organization. And I think I brought back that belief amongst...
You think you reignited something?
No, of course.
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah. In fact, speaking of Jonas Kwangwa, I remember around 2001, I'd wanted to do remixes of some of his work.
Yeah.
So Graham Gilfillan, Squire, arranges a meeting for me, Libra Jonas, at Squire's flat.
Yeah.
You know, I sat there, Libra Jonas, for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
And we never discussed music. He just told me about his life, life in the trenches, how rough it was. We spoke politics for 4 hours, Libra Jonas. We never even touched on music.
He had a lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
He had a lot of wisdom. He had a lot of love for his people.
Sure.
He's one of those people that really, I mean, I knew him, but I had the same experience. I mean, I have had a chat with him for me to understand him even better.
Sure.
That in fact, you know what, this life thing needs you to be courageous, man. It needs you to play a role in changing people's lives and doing that positively.
Absolutely. And
he was an amazing old man.
Sure.
I must say.
Let's talk TS Records.
Yeah.
Just in a nutshell, what inspired TS Records. It was yourself, DJs Boo, and you decide, okay, let's do this.
We are sitting.
What sparked this?
We are sitting in my flat, yeah, or in our flat in Lyndhurst.
True.
We're watching Mandoza. Then he's a superstar.
True.
You know, superstar, megastar. I'll just say, Kasi, and I work there.
Mm.
I'm already working at Interm Inc. at the time.
Mm.
And Mandoza wins, I think, about two awards.
Mm.
Fat Joe calls him for an interview.
Sure.
Oh, no, he doesn't. In fact, he teases, makes a mock out of him. He can't speak English and all of that.
Mm.
And what it does, it was really affecting an ordinary young boy who really looked at Mandoza as a hero.
Sure.
Look at it this way. There was Zinedine Zidane, who was a superstar, who couldn't speak English.
Sure.
At the same time, who was a player of the year, and the guy could only speak French.
Sure.
We have a superstar of our own from Ezola, who's doing us proud because he can't then speak English.
He's mocked. Mm.
Mandoza then goes to an interview, and we're like, he's going to stamp his authority. Yeah. He must go there and speak his Zulu.
Sure.
Because he's our guy.
Yeah.
Those men goes there, wants to speak English. I'm like, yo. Now, that talks to the level of consciousness I'm talking about.
Sure.
Decolonizing a mind of an African child.
Mm.
You don't have to be articulating English for you to be great.
Sure.
And we had a long chat with my partner at the time.
Mm.
And I said, we needed to play in this space. We need to speak to a township boy and tell him you're great and you can be great.
Mm.
And
just be articulate in your art.
Of course.
Language is later.
Sure. You know, but just believe in yourself.
Sure.
And that time you'd know afresh. There was you in breakfast, there was you in afternoon, there was Fat Joe, there was Bad Boy T, there was... So even YFM itself had that orientation.
Absolutely.
Outside of the fact that there were, and YFM was culture.
Mm.
So anybody and everybody who at the time, Moldacy was the biggest thing.
Mm.
And we needed to take it down a bit and bring some confidence.
Sure.
And Kabzela came.
Mm.
I did that, but it was only on a Sunday show.
Sure.
But it became huge to say, hey, man, we can speak our language on radio.
Yeah.
And it becomes cool.
Mm.
And a guy called Mzex then approached us from a gas, you know. And you'd know how Mzex came about.
Absolutely.
Boo gets fired from YFM. Cleo gets fired at YFM at the same time.
Mm. So what? So who is Mzex Ezeki? Because that's a big question thing that people ask me. So maybe we're not as TS.
No, Mzex Ezeki.
As TK from TS Records.
Mzex Ezeki, Parese Tembisa, DJ Fresh.
Okay.
Parese Tembisa, who had a drive, who was then inspired, and we gave him ideas, and Spoo was instrumental because they're from the same
town. So Spoo and Zex are not the same
person. No, they can't be. So Spoo was then fired because he was a DJ at Y, spilled coffee, or he was drinking coffee in the studio.
Mm.
One of our friends told the management that, hey, this one was drinking coffee here. Spoo gets fired, but I was very close to Shane, had a discussion with Shane, tried to convince him, spoke to you, spoke to Greg. Eventually, he was rehired as a producer of Rude Boy Paul and Unati.
Mm.
And then you have Cleo,
who
was your guy, your producer.
Sure.
Brilliant, had a lot of ideas. A big show called Joy of Jazz. He produces an ad called Joy of S.
Yes. And then Standard Bank were like,
yo.
Yeah.
He was fired.
Yeah.
Now, these two guys are my guys.
Sure.
You know?
In the hot. In the hot.
Yeah. Outzami. But this one is now back in radio.
Sure.
But as a producer.
Mm.
He started doing these skits as Agam Zakes.
Mm.
They become a big hit.
Sure.
And we start giving them direction.
I remember that week, in fact, because I'm one of the guys Mzex Ezeki called.
Yeah.
But he's calling me, telling me that he's from a pub, Orange Farm, and he wants me to come and DJ, but he's going to pay me with a six-pack. So I just hung up. I just hung up because at the time, I was not aware that it's part of that show.
Yes.
It's only the following week that I realized, oh, flip. That's what that was.
Yeah. And that thing became huge. Eh?
Yeah.
I mean, the ratings of that show, just between that 5 minutes.
Mm.
And I started saying, no, look, let's, you know, call different people. Let's not focus on celebrities. Mm. Let's focus on musicians as well. Let's, you know, and a lot of things came out. I mean, Skutang Amatol. MZX would call and start saying, Sishaiku. Then from there, it's not my mother tongue. That's a consciousness I'm talking about.
Mm.
So there was a solid foundation. So it's not my mother tongue. For yourself, and those things became huge. Even Celsi for yourself, and many things that we did there, which became revolutionary, and which were used by big corporates.
Hey, and I think Zakes made it okay to break English.
Exactly.
In fact, not necessarily to break English, but the English you speak based on your English proficiency is good enough as long as you have communicated and I know what you're saying to me.
Exactly.
You don't have to speak English like an English person. 99% of them can't even say in Tlantra. Sorry, that's the only name that came to mind right now.
This in Tlantra, okay.
Shlan.
Yeah. So, look, I think Zex did a lot.
Yeah.
And I think we have not really went and drilled down on what he did for that generation. He brought a young boy from the township closer to a one that was perceived to be doing better.
Even the signings, you guys were very intentional about who you were signing.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, at TS Records?
Sure.
Of course.
Mm.
Ours was to uplift those boys.
Sure.
We went for a Brown Dash, who was an amazing vocalist.
Your Brown, yes.
I mean, like I say, stuff we did with Cleo, I mean, I'm still telling you, now, Cleo is fired on the same day, 2 days later. Mm. I'm sleeping. I'm like, Mzex is doing this Skutang Amatolo. Here comes Arthur.
Mm.
He's doing his own remix of our song, of Skutang Amatolo. We are still planning this thing.
Yeah.
He's already doing his own mix there.
Yeah.
And I'm getting calls. Hey, Arthur is doing this thing of Mzex. I'm
Arthur's doing what Arthur does.
Yeah, of course. At the time. He's my man. At the time. So we go into a studio. I go to Cleo. He's staying
Bramley. Yeah.
Back room there.
Sure.
I'm chilling with him. I'm tired. I'm drained. I'm like, Chief, can you really produce? He says, I can. I said, okay, play something. He goes, he tries, he does this. And then for some reason, I wake up in the middle of a beat.
Sure.
But that beat, he says to me, it's an old beat from 1987 or 1988.
Mm.
1997, 1998. Says, no, man, I've done this beat, an old beat. I say, play.
Yeah.
Cheryl, when I heard that beat, I said, this is our song.
Sure.
Says, no, I gotta know, Chief. A beat is a beat. Mm. A song is a song up until people hear it.
Absolutely.
You must never think it's old. It's old to you because you did it. Mm. I'm telling you, this is our song.
Yeah.
Took that beat, went, recorded it. It became huge. But in the process, we're building a face from Zegazek, which was Brown.
Sure.
So that's how we introduced Brown Dash, who became the biggest and a very big star for us as well. I mean, I was introduced by Mbapuzi, who you'd know that I worked with him as well. Izinja, that's a project that really introduced me to yourselves, I mean, on a bigger scale.
Sure.
Brown Dash became amazing. I mean, it became huge. But at the time, I'm like, but we don't have a young star. Who can compete with this ring of person?
Sure.
Who can appeal to our younger stars? And then Tanda brought my ex-wife, brought Ntando to me. Because I used to, you know, explain to her, this is what I'm thinking. He says, no, there's this boy. And he comes, he's singing raga. I'm like, hey, Chief, this raga thing is not going to work. No. Can you write music? And he started writing music. I mean, we featured him. We introduced him through a Brown. So that's how we used to do it.
Was it Mkezeni?
Yeah, Mkeze.
Sure.
Yes.
we introduced Dando through Brown Dash on Mkezeni Mtanam,
which has now been sampled by Heavy K.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Ulele.
I've not even.
Oh, you're not aware. Oh, sorry.
I've not even. Anganga is on Ubi is a slack.
I'll fine, forget I said it.
Bang Pumala, the first thing I'm going to do is to listen to it. Yeah, Mkezeni became a success. Ndando, yeah. We started building him.
I played it to death on Why. Yes.
Yeah. It was an amazing song.
In fact, I'm going to boldly say I broke majority of the TS records.
Of course.
On my radio show.
You're a culture. You, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
I can tell you even today, that's why Fresh, we always give you respect. Mm. We give YFM respect, what sure. It did to youth culture.
You know, it's wild. The days I'd get to studio at Y at the Zone in Rosebank, like 4 a.m, as I park in the basement, one of you is waiting with this.
Of course. That's TS Records.
We made this last night.
Foster.
And I would never listen. I'd play it. I would hear it with the listeners at the same time because I knew exactly the quality to expect.
Of course,
it was wild.
No.
That period. 4 a.m, sometimes I get there. Arthur is there with the CD.
You're calling us. We're coming back from Palaburu.
Yes.
You're in the studio with this Buma lawyer.
Sure.
He's dissing Mzeik.
Sure.
Like, what? What is this guy doing?
And you need to understand also that Tina at the time, myself and Tato, because we're very petty.
Yeah.
If someone wants to diss, we pour petrol.
In fact, no. Sbu went to Oskido's show at night on Sunday.
Mm.
We're like, what the hell is happening?
Sure.
This guy is dissing us.
And then we came with the petrol and called you.
Yeah. No. As we come back, we went straight to the studio.
Yeah.
Cleo, Zix, Brown Dash. Everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, at that time, we used to stay, or rather would be in the same house, 20 guys. Mapaputs, Chup Chup, Louis Omangen.
Sure.
Brown Dash, all of them. They used to be at my house. So we drive back, we go straight to the studio Fresh. Waifunu was a corner band, Pansquale Mask.
Yeah.
That's a song you went crazy. You played it 4 times. I remember you calling me. I was not part of this song. I didn't diss you guys. Don't come for me. No, that was the wildest song the guys have ever done. In fact, I had to edit it 3 times.
Yeah.
Because it was
a lot.
It was worse.
Yeah, yeah.
And Cleo was like, no. I said, Chief, no, we must tone down. Don't kill this guy.
Yeah.
But it was like,
just a warning shot, injury.
What I'm saying is that you did a lot for us, man. Mm. I mean, Ndando, even if at that time you're not an Afropop person, I remember we broke Ndando through you, all our, Pro Kid.
Sure.
Because we after Ndando, we went for Pro Kid because we thought he was special.
Sure.
But we thought there's something missing.
Mm.
He was township, but he was not fully in.
Sure.
You know?
He was compromising.
Yeah, he was compromising.
For commercial reasons.
He comes to me, is with a boy called AKA, Dayang.
Yeah.
It's Ivy League.
Sure.
They come to my house. No, we've got this thing. The song is Bounce.
Mm.
I said, no, but why must this song say Bounce?
Yeah.
Chief, go in.
Yeah.
Bumper.
Bumper, bumper,
you know, and then they changed the song to be Bumper, and it changed their lives.
Sure,
I mean, it introduced Pro Kid became a super, you know, artist, and of course, I used to fight with him. You need to take it to another level. You need to, which I think KO was able to do at some point.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
Before we talk, the disbanding of TS. This was what 2015 was it?
2015? Yeah, 2014.
Let's clear all the Zahara drama.
Yeah.
Did you guys rip Zahara off? Do you owe her money? Or what's happening with that story? Let's put it to bed once and for all.
Well, let me start by saying it's 2009.
Mm.
I go to Eastern Cape. I discover a young woman called Spinach.
Sure.
Not Zahara.
Yes.
So there's no father who named Zahara.
Mm. I saw that debate on social media after she passed away.
Nothing like that.
May her soul rest in peace. Yes.
Yeah. A Spinach, we take her. But I had to convince my ex-wife, because I knew that she was going to be something extra special.
Mm.
I had to convince her that we have to stay with this young woman so that we are able to groom her.
Sure.
Met her in a pub there owned by Olwe Tuoyana. She was basking. It took me 2 seconds to know that she was amazing.
Sure.
We took her to Joburg. Okay, call my wife. Come and see this woman. What do you think? She says, props. Mm. Let's go. You know, she was blown away. We bring her to Johannesburg. We stay for a year with that recording. But it was important for us to just orientation, you know, take her through, make her understand. But she was also going to gigs with Ntlantla so that she's used to big stage.
True.
And Ntlantla then was doing a solo career. So we immediately decided to start recording Meet. In fact, in Meet 2011, we start recording Zahar. We dropped the album in October. We take her to big shows.
Sure.
I think the first show she ever performed, first stage, you know, when you are destined for big things, nobody can stop you. We take her, the first show, first performance solo artist, we take her to Mretile Park. It used to be the biggest show, Abo Brasem.
Ah, yes.
It was amazing.
Yes.
We take her to that Mretile Park. 20,000 people. These guys, they said she'll perform at 2 o'clock during the day. She doesn't perform. She does, because she was there to promote. She doesn't perform. She doesn't perform. Up until I arrive at 8 o'clock at night. Sanel and them are sweating. I don't want to give them space. As you know, DJ Fresh, it was not easy to say no to me.
Yes, sir.
I was just on your neck. I put you to do what I want.
Sure, sure.
I stay on their neck. Zahara plays at the peak time. New artist. It never happens in Brazil.
Sure.
It's the biggest show. It's the same thing we did with you.
Sure.
At Why Mama Why Bash. No new artist could perform.
Oh, when I forced from Zegi Zegi to perform. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was at the YFM, I think, 5th birthday bash.
Yeah.
At the Pretoria State Theatre.
Same thing.
Yes, sir.
Craig is saying, as a fresh
nyakela. And you know, could have gotten fired. Because Craig had refused from Zegi Zegi to
perform. Yeah.
And I was like, bring the CD here.
I'm standing at the back there waiting, mfana nyakela, just play this.
And that was my first song.
The
State Theatre almost collapsed.
Everybody went down. First performance. Do you remember the experience? Same experience with Zahar.
Wow.
Same.
Yeah.
You could even hear a nail dropping when she played Loli.
Yeah.
The whole crowd was, I was like, we found a star.
Sure.
What I saw when I met this young woman is exactly coming into light. We go to Metro FM Awards, and this is where I want to start the story. We go to Metro FM Awards, AKA and Zahara, they dominate those awards.
Mm.
They win, and they're in April. And you remember the cycle of royalties. It's June, it's December. Remember? It's June, and then it's December.
Sure.
That was the cycle of royalties, 6 months.
Sure.
Now it's different. By the time we come back from the Metro Awards, this woman has not even received a royalty, including publishing.
Sure.
Maybe she's doing few gigs, but she's big. Her album is selling like crazy.
Mm.
Everybody's got the album. The first article comes, this girl is staying in my house. She's been staying in my house for 2 years.
Mm.
Why she doesn't have her own house? Mm. She's on 300,000 copies at the time.
Mm.
Everybody knows she's been ripped off. It started there.
Mm.
Long before even the royalties came up.
Mm.
Long before. So it was instilled in people's minds. And I don't want to say it was major record companies, but it was a big campaign.
Mm.
Huge.
Mm.
And we had to fight very hard to kill it.
Mm.
You know, she knew the truth. We knew the truth at the time. I had to go and even explain what I'm telling you to the family.
Mm.
That she's not even 3-4 months. A professional musician.
Sure.
It's just not possible that she can wake up and she's a millionaire. It's not possible. But everybody was then, she was too big. I guess I understand. You know, I had to switch on. I had to say, okay, fine. You know what? let's wait till you get your royalties. Let's get your house. Get your royalties, go there, and allow that space, which I think was one of my biggest mistakes, to think about it today as you're asking me the question. I've never thought about it. Succumbing to the pressure of noise allowed me to give it too much space, allowed me to say, okay, let it be your own self. And what I was trying to build get diverted, and she lives her own life, and she gets, first of all, we have never paid artists royalties direct. We always had an agreement with a big major record company. Pay the artist direct their royalties, including publishing.
Sure.
There are two big avenues at the time. It's publishing and royalties. And then you'll have gigs. So we never even entered that space. And we always gave our artists good royalties. All of them.
So which major was taking care of that on your behalf?
At the time, it was Universal. Before Universal, CCP.
Oh, yes.
It was Universal. I think CCP was gone then. Yeah, it was Universal. Daram. So it was Daram.
It was Universal, yeah.
So we never even came close to royalties. Of course, because I get documents, I would know what she gets. And so we encourage her to get a house. She got all of that. But remember, we're not part of the administration.
Sure.
Of a funds. We were very far from that. And I think in hindsight, I shouldn't have succumbed to the pressure and the noise. I should have continued to actually put her on track, to assist her, to build her, to assist her to even build assets and whatever that we needed to do. Because I was not just a promoter or a manager of Sahara. I was his father. I went to his family. I asked for the permission. I brought her to Johannesburg. I shouldn't have.
Let her go to the wolves.
Yes. But I did.
True.
In hindsight, I think that was the biggest mistake of allowing people who've got nothing to do, know nothing about the music industry, to dictate or to even... And I think that's the wisdom you learn over time, I guess. Because at the time, now if you ask me, I would not even listen to anything of that nature. Because I know people a person just sits on Twitter and just tweets from his room and he knows nothing about anything. But because it's a negative space, people are just so negative for different reasons. Yeah.
So what happened in terms of the record deal? Where did it end or how did it end?
It ended in 2014. It ended in 2014. That last record I did with Zara was 2014. We only did three records.
Sure.
I think it's 10 years later now. In 2014, we did the first record, we did the second record, we did the same deal. From there, because I was starting to be more preoccupied, at that time I was elected as a treasurer, I said, I've got so much... in my plate.
True.
You've grown now. I want to give you your space. The first album, I think we sold about 300 and something. Second album, 150. Third album, I think we sold another 150. So in terms of album and all of that, it was taken care of elsewhere. It was not part of our arrangements. Right? And that's how it happened. And I had to sit with it down and I say, okay, now you have grown, do your management, take yourself, go to a different record company. So when Zara passes on, it's 9 years later after we've worked with her. She has released three more records, not working with TS Records. But because of the responsibility I had, and she blew up in front of us, we had to be there for her.
In fact, I think about a couple of years ago,
she
was live on Instagram talking about how you guys owe her money or robbed her. Where did that come from? And how did you address it?
It will always come. Brenda said it about Chico. I'm sure some artists have said it about you. Artists say it about anybody. The music industry world is a very strenuous world. There's expectations all the time. It is one industry, in fact, the entertainment industry is one industry where an artist becomes big and they get pressure from, there's expectations. People believe, this person, man, should have should have had 20 million rands for some reason. I don't know how people, but because they're on TV every day, because there's an expectation of a certain lifestyle, because of videos, and there's just that pressure. And obviously, when your life starts taking a different turn, like in any relationship, the first the person you blame is the person next to you. You know, I mean, we had to remind each other, we had to say, but what are we talking about? And I understood that, in fact, this discussion started long before we even made money. So I understand, but I also understood her character and her as a person.
True.
So that's why I could not be even emotional about issues when it comes to her. But we always address issues with her. I'll always call her and say, but it was always fueled by media because it was a nice story.
How was your relationship before she passed away?
It was okay. She called me even a year, I think 2022, she was in hospital for the same issue. I was one of the first people to be called. I went to see her, spoke to her, advised on some of the things that doctors were raising. And I could only do that, you know, because I was also at a lot of work. But when she passed on, we had our own discussions. And unfortunately, not everything I can say, because some of these things, they end in between me and her. But we were there for each other when needs be.
Sure. Is there any truth in the fact that you were asked to leave when you went to pay your respects at her house?
Never. I don't think anybody has got balls to say that to me. Let alone Vusi.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, I mean...
Okay, so Vusi never asked you to...
No. It's they had to build something. Remember, there was a lot of speculation. What's going to happen? Are they going to go? You understand how we think.
Without generally. Drama.
Yeah. So,
and petty drama.
Yes, no. They must chase them away. Because people want to own things and battles they don't understand, that they're not even part of. But because it makes sense to pull each other down, it's just in our DNA. And it's something that we need to get rid of, right? If there is an allegation about Fresh, we own it. Nobody cares.
And I want my version.
Yes, of it.
To be sexier than yours.
Exactly. We all, I'm the first to say, hey, look at how he walks.
Yeah.
He has done it.
Yeah.
That's in our DNA. Nobody, no one has has balls to say, hey, you don't even know Zari. You know him 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about voice. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
No, nobody said that. I mean, we came in there. We paid our respect. And the family knows, I mean, the father, the mother, they know how we related with her. From time to time, it's like, we're not Fresh. We out here. But I can have a phone call with Mandla and say, yes, we're Fresh, we're better. It's a conversation I'm having with Mandla. It doesn't necessarily or literally mean I'm saying,
sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those are conversations. Oscar Brayako, you've been friends with him for years, but it doesn't mean you don't have fallouts. You do. Fallouts happen everywhere.
Sure.
So from time to time, we'll have a fallout with Zahara, but I can assure you, it's not a person I would...
So you sleep at night, you're not worried
of
about...
Of course, I've always...
Conscience is clear, you're not worried about being a ghost in the middle of the night going...
No. I sleep at night.
So 100 meters from here, we have statue of Brenda Fassie. There's another statue of Kipimwe Ketsi. SA legends.
Yeah.
Do we need to add a Zahara statue?
100%.
Down the road here.
100%. She comes at the time after recession.
Sure.
Music is not selling. Many people are going. In fact, me and Oscar started having a discussion about construction business at that time.
Sure.
It was bad. When I'm saying bad, I mean really bad. From 1999 to 2011, they had to even drop sales from 25,000 gold to 20,000 and 15,000.
No, because I remember when we were doing Fresh House Flavor, platinum was 50,000.
Exactly.
And every Fresh House Flavor we did from 1 to 5, before release, were platinum.
100%.
All of a sudden, they're dropping it to 25. I'm like, exactly. What are you doing?
Exactly. It was bad.
That's how bad it was.
It was bad.
Yeah.
The young girl drops an album.
Yeah.
It motivates everyone.
No, it had the nation going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you... good music, it came at the right time. It was motivational, it was spiritual, it was healing. But people went for it.
True.
But it revived the music industry. It brought back the belief of people in the music industry that if this woman can sell 200,000 in a month, it means if we do good music, we can do this.
Yeah.
I'm happy I was part of that history.
True.
You know, I strongly and truly believe that she was a revolutionary. She changed the music business. She was a healer. She was here for a reason.
Sure.
There was a lot of depression from our people. Mthwalo wa Muyang's, listen to the songs for you to understand the impact it had to the nation. So without a doubt, I believe she's one of those artists that belongs there. In fact, I believe that had she not passed on early, I mean, as I'm talking to you, there were even... emails coming from to my side from Tracy Chapman and the team wanting to collaborations, even today. That's a type of a person you talk about. It's just that I believe that, and I'm saying, had I not fallen into that trap and continue being the father figure I was, she would have, I think, would have realized something.
Her fortunes would have been different.
Yeah, I honestly believe so.
Now, you were earlier on telling us about how before Zahara moved to Jozi, you had to speak to your wife for permission, as it were. How did you meet Ndlantla?
And what did I meet Ndlantla?
Yeah, and how was it? What was it about her? Because you're in an industry with a ton of people. But what was it about
her? I never thought I can date a person in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I'm that guy. You know? I want my things. I want noise about my stuff. So, I think I started coming across in 1997 Vista University.
True.
They are starting. I'm also the freshers born. Ngizele mina.
True.
Angikho kulezi zinto lezi. And this girl, and it's a true story.
True.
She just walks across me and she jumps me. And I felt a different way. Never met with her again, but I saw it, you know what I mean? But never met with her again. Till 2001. They are doing lotto. We go into a lift.
Sure.
What is it? Sunny what?
Sure, the Southern Sun.
Southern Sun.
Okay.
We take a lift. We're going down. And in Ghana, I lift him. You know? And I just froze. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know? Go to cook. Who was there? My chiva name and cookster.
Yeah.
Who's this one?
Yeah.
You know?
She's making me dance.
Yes. Hey, well, 2 months, 3 months down the line, we are doing promotion. We have Skutanga Matolo. They've got number now. Hey, I push hard up until she started listening. And then we started...
Push hard means what? You're calling...
I'm calling, check, I'm driving to Kagiso, it's so far. I'm driving to Kagiso.
Oh, so you used to drive all the way to Kagiso?
Yeah.
Ah, that's commitment.
Drive to Kagiso. I find the guy who was still a boyfriend, I disorganize him quickly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she listened. Hey, now guys at Kalawa, they are angry.
True.
Hey, this TS Records boy is now...
They're coming for everything.
Yo. Speaker was worse.
Yeah.
He was only, you know, Mawuta was okay. Oskido was mild. Lindelani Mkize was very angry.
True.
But no, I had to show them I'm not here for anything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just... here for this hand. Good woman.
Sure.
She was a good woman till we went separate ways.
What went wrong?
I guess it's life, man. Nothing went wrong. I think commitments, different... I think when I was in the music industry, it was much better. I think at the time where we had to, or where we split, it's just my own view. I got too committed. committed in my space. She was too committed. Remember, they had big songs at the time.
Mm.
We could not spend enough time together. I just guess life happened, you know.
So it's not true that someone disorganized you the way you disorganized the Gang Kagiso.
Somebody disorganized me the way I disorganized that guy. I don't think any woman would.
So there was no third party involved.
I don't think there's any woman who could have separated us. Mm. I don't think it's about the third party.
Sure.
No. I don't believe.
But there was never a third party that disorganized things.
But third parties, I don't know. They're always there. I don't know. No, but I'm saying to you, I mean, from man to man, I don't think they would have been on my side. And I'm not saying, you know, but look, like I say, I mean, she is, and I think will always be an amazing woman. We just went different ways,
and
life happened.
Mm.
And I'll always respect her, and I think she's a great parent to my kids.
Sure.
And we're good like that. Mm. And
how's the co-parenting going? What are some of the challenges? Are there challenges?
Over time, we're better.
Are you ironing it out?
Yeah. Hey.
What was the biggest challenge that you look back and you say, I'm glad we are grown up now as co-parenters?
Divorce is not easy, Fresh. You know it like me.
Mm?
Divorce is
easy. I know ours was easy, but then we carry on.
No. You manage
it. No, it wasn't the emotions and everything, but the process, ours was gentler.
Mine was gentler.
Yeah.
Nobody knew I was divorced.
Yeah.
Up until, or I was divorcing,
sure.
Up until we divorced. So we worked on that very well. But if you've been with a person for 17 years, it's not easy, you know. So I guess there was a lot of emotions in between and a lot of noise from outside, which we tried to manage together.
Sure.
And I think we did extremely well. I think... I'm happy we were able to get through the first 3 years of our divorce. It was a bit...
What made it a rocky 3 years as you were divorcing?
I don't know, man. I guess...
Was it anger? Was it hurt?
It's a mix of many things. It's a mix of many things. But I think we're able to go through that. And especially now, I think we're in a good space. We talk more, we talk about the kid more.
Mm.
The kid is becoming a better man now because he can see that me and the mother are speaking more.
Sure.
He's more relaxed, he's more...
And that's so important.
Yeah, because I can tell you that's one thing that destabilizes a child.
Mm.
And children, they manipulate that space. When they know you don't speak, he goes this side, he says this, he goes that side, he says this. Mm. But when he knows or when they know that there's collaboration and you speak and you co-parent and you are together.
Sure.
And you are speaking in the same voice.
You're a unit.
Yeah.
You're a part, but you're a unit.
And I think of late, we've been a unit.
Sure.
And I'm glad for my son.
Sure.
Because I can see through him that he's in a better space.
He's a different person.
Yeah, he's a different person. And I'm very much happy with that.
So... Tennis player Aryna Sabalenka, she's playing at the Miami Open.
Mm-hmm.
And her boyfriend jumped from a balcony a day or two ago. And she's decided that she's going to continue playing the Miami Open, despite the fact that her boyfriend has committed suicide. And I understand why. Because sometimes you need to be in a certain space to get away from the noise.
Yeah.
Now, when you lost Zinati, what was your outlet as a couple in dealing with losing a child and also as an individual for Wena? What helped you walk that journey? Because you can't wish it away.
If there's one thing that will, and I don't wish for my worst enemies for you to lose your kid, I can tell you that's one thing that really hurt us. I think it was one of the things that brought pain, I guess. But we never separated or divorced because of that.
Sure.
But it was one period, and I thank God that we then had Iluvuyo later, who who really, you know, brought back laughter, smiles. Because Inati was a special kid. Sure. I think she was an angel. Aitalwanga, man, God, and these things happen. But you've got dreams for your kids. It's a pain that stays with you for the rest of your life. There's one woman who comes at my house. She's an old woman. Everybody's been coming in and out, my friends, my political friends, my family. Everybody's saying the same thing. I'm not hearing anybody. This woman says to me, I lost my kid in 1988. Nobody's going to say anything that you'll understand because it's not meant to be. But take it one day at a time. It's a pain that you'll always live with, but become a better person. Learn from it and pray about it. And actually lean on your partner, pull each other through. And I think that's one person who made sense to me. That in fact, this pain is never gonna go. It's, you know, it will never go because of what I'm explaining to you. But you learn to live with it, like any other pain. So we had to learn to live with it. We had to lean towards each other and support and push each other to become a better people. And I'm sure wherever she is, the pain is still there, but we have learned to live with it. And I think Luvuyo, who's my 12-year-old on the 13th of June, was my new hope. Yeah.
New hope.
Yo, I mean, I've got two boys before that. But Zinati was just, I mean, it was the only girl I had, you know?
Yes.
And she was an amazing creature, man. She loved me to bits. You know, girls with their dads, they, and in my family, there's no girl, my brother, even the two of us, it's me and him. So we just had that one angel who left us. But I want to say to any parent, hey, life goes on, man. But you just have to learn from it.
The pain doesn't, but life has to go on.
Life has to go on. The pain will never go on. But it differs. It varies from one day to another. One day, good experience, you know, good memories. The other day, you just think about how old would she be now? She'd be 21. She'd be a serious adult. I'll be having problems of belt boys in my house, having to chase them, you know. Yeah, so...
We are in an election year. I'm going to move straight into politics.
Yeah.
How do you think the ANC is going to do this year?
It's a question that always comes when it comes to elections. And it comes for a reason. It's an incumbent. You know, it's like when you're going into an interview. And that's why I usually don't even believe in those things. There's 12 political parties and there's ANC, which is the 13th. All of them are contesting at this one organization. And they're all giving the same time as the ANC to respond. All 12 people are talking up against one organization that is expected to respond. It's not going to be an easy election. But the people of this country knows what the ANC would have done. They know where they come from with this ANC. They know the contribution of the African National Congress to the people of this country. And that's one thing you can't take away from the ANC. Of course, where we have done mistakes, we have to apologize to our people. But where we have done wrong, people have to remember what the ANC would have done for our people.
What do you say to people who say you guys talk anti-corruption but turn the other, you know, you look the other way when comrades are eating?
Well, the only organization in this country that has a step-aside rule, the only.
Are you guys applying it, though?
Yes, we have. It's Makhashule, a secretary general of the ANC. No organization has ever done that. It's on step-aside. So we have. Not only ACE, we have done it to many comrades who were on step aside. Even now.
Should the speaker step aside?
Well, I don't
After her think. House was raided 2 days ago.
Am I a big fan of step aside? I don't want to raise my views about it. I'm saying not my views. I'll have to stick to what the organization says.
Sure.
But there is a principle in this country, which is law. And I think if there's one thing we need to talk about, even ourselves as the organization, and I know the integrity of the organization is very important. I mean, you can't be guilty before you're proven guilty. It can't be. Everybody else in this country has got rights, including other political parties and their members, and they all go for what we talk about. That we need to fight for our integrity and be seen in a particular way because we're a ruling party. And I agree with that, right? But can the speaker be investigated like everybody else? If we're using and corrupt, as people are saying, do you think the speaker of the ANC and we're using the state machinery against will be investigated today? I'm saying there's a contradiction.
So what do you say to people who say, though, as much as the law is the law, perception management is also everything. So it might be illegal, but is it right? It might not be illegal what someone has done, but is it right for them to still stick around as opposed to let me wait for due process?
Do you also agree that people must... okay, I'll make an example. A deputy speaker in Gauteng gets accused. And she gets prosecuted by Afroforum, pushes the case, and she just won the case a few days ago. Everybody was saying she must step aside. She won the case because this person needed wanted to take R1 million, wanted to, do you get my point? Wanted her to pay that R1 million. But because there was a list process, and there were people in the party that were saying step aside, but we're saying within the step aside rule, there is a private prosecution, which we can always talk to. I'm saying, unfortunately, I understand what my organization is saying, but this country has agreed to the constitution as a country. You are innocent up until you are proven guilty, not the other way around, where you are guilty up until you are proven innocent. I am not here to speak about the speaker's issue. I don't know what's the issues, but what I know is that, like any other South African, we must all follow due processes. And I can tell you, knowing the speaker in parliament, Comrade Pemi, knowing the secretary general of the ANC, who I can tell you now believes in the integrity of the ANC, there will be a consequence management on the issue. But the reality is that if a human being errs or makes a mistake, and we are able as an organization show that we are able to act or even take certain steps, that must not affect the organization as a whole. Any organization must be voted for its policies. I can ask you now, there's an organization now that is there. Nobody knows their policies. Nobody knows.
Is it not fair to argue that the average South African generally wouldn't be able to tell you any party's policies? That often we vote based on emotion, perceptions of party. The family voted here, so I'm also going to vote here. That, you know, your average South African doesn't care about policies.
I don't think so. I think an average South African does care about politics.
But the policies.
The policies.
Yes.
I think they do. I think they do. I think they are getting more conscious. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm confident that we'll win the elections. Because
so you think 50% minimum is what you're getting?
Minimum? No ways. We'll get beyond that.
Okay.
The ANC.
That's what I'm saying. You're not going to get less than 50.
No. The ANC will get more than that. I'm confident.
So President Ramaphosa at some stage spoke about 9 wasted years.
Yeah.
What are your view? What's your view on those 9 years?
Hey, I don't know in what context he was talking about 9 wasted years.
Yeah, the Zuma years.
Yeah, I'm saying the context why would he have said that?
That wasted.
If he did say it, I don't believe in 9 wasted years. I believe every country goes through a particular process. There was, of course, a serious problem of state capture, which was done by the Guptas, which were linked to the former president of the ANC, which, of course, people interpreted in different ways. We've passed that. We're in the renewal process, which is not easy. Comes with a lot of pain. Renewal comes with a lot of pain and sacrifices. So where we are, I think the ANC is on the right path. I think the next generation of leaders will take it to another level.
Mm. I think about 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago, President Ramaphosa spoke about lifestyle audits for the executive. And he was asked about it again this week or last week. And he says, finally, it's about to happen. But it's taken 5 years to happen.
Yeah.
What do you say to people that say he's indecisive about a lot of things, or he takes long to act on certain things, or that he over consults in certain issues where he should say, I'm the president, we're doing this, let's get it done?
There's processes in everything.
Mm.
It's not a one-man show.
Mm. But 5 years for lifestyle audits.
I mean, certain things have to be passed. I mean, like any other law, if it's supposed to be a process of parliament, it's not only his problem. It's a problem of everybody. Remember, it's not about lifestyle audit for the executive. It's a lifestyle audit for every member of parliament. It should be like that, because every person who's a public representative should be audited. Do you think other political parties are comfortable with that? I'm just saying, it's easy to pin it to the ANC or Ramaphosa, but there are a lot of people.
So why are they not happening, this lifestyle?
It's about all the political parties.
Mm.
Parliament, it's not one organization. It's many organizations. And the bill does not get passed by one organization.
Mm.
It gets passed by everybody, or whatever law or rules or whatever the case might be. Well, if he says that thing is going to happen, it means they've agreed and the process is starting. Mm. Those processes are moving on. And that lifestyle audit must happen from the first member of parliament till the last member.
Mm.
It shouldn't target certain individuals.
Mm.
Because we use these things to target individuals, and that's what would have happened before.
Mm.
So people are conscious about certain things that they do. If you pass this law and you start with fresh, does it mean you are leaving out TK? And I'm sure they were just gathering ways of doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying ANC is winning this election?
No, ANC is going to win these elections. The people of this country will go out in their millions and they will vote for the African National Congress for different reasons.
Mm.
Generations and generations will vote for the ANC for different reasons.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is, 1994, 33% of people had access to electricity.
Mm.
Today, 87% of people in this country have got access to electricity. Of course, there's issues of load shedding. That must be resolved.
Because a paper given to Mbeki was ignored that we need power stations.
Yeah, well, that's your view, Fresh.
Is it not a fact, though?
My point is, where we have made mistakes, we must rectify.
Sure.
And many South Africans today have got access to electricity.
Mm.
That's a fact.
Sure.
Many in 1994, only 101,000 young people had access to higher education.
Mm.
Today, 1.1 million of young people in this country have got access to higher education.
Mm.
I'm saying we have better education today. I'm saying 4.7 million houses have been built by this ANC. One thing that you call service delivery, it's a moving target. On a daily basis, people are looking. You give them jobs, they want better jobs. You give them roads, they want houses. You give them houses, they want water. You give them water. So service delivery is a moving target. It doesn't matter which organization leads the country.
Mm.
The reality is that people will always look for better services, for better this, for better that.
Mm.
But one thing that gives me comfort is that many of the metros today are under coalition government. And people in those metros, they understand when the ANC was leading them, they were in better conditions.
Mm.
Today, look at the service delivery in all these metros. It has collapsed. It's worse where DA, Democratic Alliance, is in charge, and this Action SA. Look at Tshwane. Tshwane has just collapsed completely. I don't even know why it's still in the hands of those people. Those people of Tshwane are going to go in their thousands because they can't even drink water in their pipes now. It's bad, right? So people in Gauteng, in KwaZulu-Natal, in the Western Cape, DA is going to suffer a lot of loss in that area because of their stance. Will go out in their numbers and they will vote for the African National Congress. You will tell me, come May 29th,
sure,
with our mistakes, we have done a lot, and South Africans have appreciated that.
Mm.
with the 350 that Ramaphosa gives to those people, and people are saying, no, what is this? There's an appreciation that people can't live in absolute poverty.
True.
Because we're from COVID, and 2 million jobs were lost. We're still recovering. We have an ail economy. How do we work around that? We make sure that we don't allow our people to live in absolute poverty and can't even afford a loaf of bread. And generally, us as people, we think your problems are not mine. You spend money on champagne, so some, and you think, no, 350 is nothing. But to somebody else, if one family has got an old woman, a granny, a young kid who doesn't have a father who looks after him, three people or four people who doesn't work in that family, you can find out that government spends at least 10,000 in that household for them not to live in absolute poverty. Is it enough? No. Are we supposed to create jobs? Yes. That's why the ANC says now, its objective is to make sure for the next 5 years we create 2.5 million jobs. And having a president like Cyril, I believe that is possible.
I think we'll leave it on that note. We'll bring you back for part two to celebrate 50% plus, or to discuss who you're going to coalition.
No, 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 no. There's no coalition. We're winning 50% plus. 60%.
Sure.
National.
TK, I've known you for the last 24 years.
Yeah.
Nothing but respect for you.
Yeah.
And I wish you nothing but the best in all that you venture out into. And may you continue to grow and change lives. I know that a couple of days ago you were giving away a house in the West End.
In fact, we always try and give back. You know, I was in City Ring, I was in Ekurhuleni.
Sure.
Even yesterday, we're doing games and giving away, you know, some support to families in Ekurhuleni.
Sure.
In a township called Evuta, where I grew up.
Sure.
But in the main fresh, I want to say all respect, brah, the role that you've played into my life, into many young people's in Gauteng. And this is coming from the good heart. Challenges, they come, and they are supposed to be faced by strong men.
Absolutely.
And I believe from where I am, there's more you still need to offer this country and the people of this country and the continent. Sisonke Baba, and thank you very much for me and many others that you've supported.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, TK Nyiza is about to leave the building. At this point in time, we have many reminders of how much we have to repair, rebuild, and reconnect with our country. However, this week is another reminder of how far we have come as a nation. We're not saying that people should forget the negative for convenience, but hopefully we can appreciate and honor the path we have forged, the people who have aided in that, and the liberties that we do have. Wishing everyone a great human rights commemoration and a wow week ahead. We're coming to you from AMP Studios, downtown Jozi. We're part of the Africa Podcast Network. Shout out to Trevor and Pezulu Works for the cinematography, all of the imaging by artist The Flo Fraser, our guest TK wa TS, and creative producer Kuvesh Mohan, show producer Keletso Mutisa Geng. Get in touch with us. Email wow@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next week, have a great week in spite of yourselves.